Returning to 2 Kings this morning. The title of the message is Take a Chance on Mercy. 2 Kings, we're going to start reading in chapter 6 and verse 24. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. So I think you see on your notes there, if you have an outline, Samaria is the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember that when after Solomon, the kingdom was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And so Samaria is the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Syria is an enemy nation. So they come and they attack Samaria. And they're there for a while. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and one-fourth of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. It's a horrible, horrible time in the city. There's nothing to eat. The people are starving to death, and that's why this is mentioned here. And it goes on to mention some more horrific things that are happening in the city because the people are starving to death. We're not going to read all of those things. We're going to skip over to chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" He's a doubter. No way. No way can this happen. And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, the famine is in the city." Of course, lepers, under the Mosaic law, they couldn't come into the city. That's why they were outside. They were unclean, and until they were healed of their leprosy and cleansed of their leprosy and checked out by the priest, they could not enter the city. And they had to announce, even when people would approach, that they were unclean. They were unclean. And so that's why they're outside. And it goes on to say, "And if we sit here, we die also." Well, in other words, there's no point in us going, you know, even if we can get into the city, we can sneak in somehow. There's nothing for us there. The famine is in the city. There's death in the city. Okay, so then we can sit here, and we can die here. We can die of starvation here. So this is what they decide. "Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." So here's our one chance. Our one chance, the Syrians, the enemy. We'll just go to them. And maybe by some far-fetched chance, they'll give us some food. They won't kill us. "And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us.' Therefore they arose and fled at twilight, and they left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent, and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they said, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out to the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.'" And one of his servants answered and said, "Please let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it," excuse me, I have trouble reading this morning, "or indeed I say they may become like the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see." Therefore they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria." Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, "Now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" And he said, and he had said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And so it happened to him, for all the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. So we got this situation where Syria is at war with the inhabitants of Samaria. They're attacking Samaria. As I said, for a period of time, there's a famine in the city. People are dying. People are desperate. And the prophet Elisha comes and tells them that there's going to be food aplenty tomorrow. And it just seems like it's unbelievable. In fact, this one officer, he can't believe it. He can't accept it. He says, "There's no way. Even if windows of heaven were opened up and to rain down food from heaven, how could this happen?" The thing about God's word, and this was God's word coming to the people through the prophet Elisha, this was the word of God. The word of God is sure. What God promises will happen. The future for us, as laid out in the scripture, is going to come to pass. I believe in a heaven, and I believe in a hell. I believe in a coming judgment. I believe in the coming kingdom of Christ. I believe in all those things because I've learned about them in the Bible, in the Word of God. And we can depend on the Word of God. So many people today are just rejecting the Word of God. They're downplaying its importance. They're saying it may contain the words of God. They accept some of it. They accept part of it, not all of it. And some don't accept the Bible at all. So you hear on television sometimes these documentaries where they're trying to explain away things like the Red Sea crossing. Oh, there was a low tide. The Bible doesn't describe them sloshing through mud and water because it's low tide. It says they went through on dry ground. I think there was dust. I think they were kicking up dust. I believe the biblical account. Some people challenge the biblical account of the flood and attack the idea that Noah could have built a vessel and could contain all these animals, and it just wasn't possible. I believe that's true. And I believe those things happen, and I believe the prophecies that are yet to come will happen because I believe in the Word of God. But this man didn't believe the prophecy. He voices his doubts. In Psalm 111 and throughout the Bible confirms itself as being true. Psalm 111 and verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. You can count on the word of God. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. We can depend on the word of God. I think that we really can't fathom the ability of God. We look at creation and the wonders of creation, from the depths of the sea to the outer edges of the universe. We look and we explore and we see the amazing handiwork of God. God is omnipotent, and his ways we cannot understand. But we can depend on the Word of God. The Word of God is sure, and we can depend on it. We live in a time where, again, that so many people are simply rejecting the Bible. But we got to be careful not to be influenced, not to doubt, but to have faith in the Word of God. Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." What the prophet prophesied seemed like was so unlikely that it could happen. They're starving to death. They're eating gross things just to stay alive. They're giving great sums of money to buy something that they could eat. So it seemed so impossible for this to change in an instant. And yet, because of God, it did change in an instant. Because of the power of God. And God told them, and it happened. So we have these two leprous men. They realize that they're going to die. We can try to get into the city, but that's not going to really do us any good. Do you remember verses 3 and 4? It's not really going to help us. Or we can just sit here and we're going to die. So they took a chance. That's where the title comes from. They took a chance. That maybe, just maybe, the Syrians will be merciful to us. So they took a chance on mercy because death was sure. And this is really the condition of all of mankind. We're born into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We're sinners by nature, and we're condemned by God. Of course, we know children are covered until they reach the age of accountability. But all men are sinners. And because we're sinners, there's the condemnation of death. Romans 5:12 says, let's turn there. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. All men are sinners, and so death has spread to all men, because we're all sinners. Death is sure. There's so many people in this world who are like the leprous men. They just don't realize it. And instead of moving, instead of searching, they're just sitting. They're content with the status quo. They're staying in the place. And the lepers realize that if they didn't do something, they were going to die. There are many people on the road to hell right now. And they have no desire to get up, to move, to try to find out, to look for the mercy of God. Passing the time away, doing nothing about their eternal destiny. You know, we don't have to do anything extraordinarily bad to go to hell. I think that's another thing that many, many people in this world don't understand. You don't have to be an exceptionally bad sinner. You just have to be a human being. The best human being without Christ is still condemned to hell, because they don't have Christ. Christ is our salvation. So all you have to do to go to hell is to sit and do nothing, because you're already condemned. The scripture says in John 3:18, you're condemned already because you have not believed in Jesus Christ. So they had one chance. They realized they had one chance, and that chance was betting on mercy. And that's the same chance we have, the only chance we have. To be saved from death, future eternal death in hell, there's only one chance, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is our hope. And He's the one we must go to find mercy in our time of need, to find salvation. In Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 12, notice what the scripture says here. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The world is going to tell you, and many people might tell you, that there are many ways to get to heaven. There's not. There's only one way. There's only one Savior. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. And it's imperative. We must be saved. You must be born again. You must be saved by the grace of God. You must have found the mercy of God, the plan of God, which was to give His Son, Jesus, as our sacrifice for our sins, that if we come to Him for mercy and trust in Him as our Savior, we can be saved. There's no other name. There's only one salvation. Only one salvation, and that is because of what Jesus did. Ephesians 2, 3 through 5. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. So this describes our condition. We're like those leprous men. We're just waiting to die. We're sinners by nature. We're already condemned. And every one of us are in the same boat. We're all in the same place, in the same condition. But notice verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. What did those lepers look for? They went to the Syrians for mercy. You know, they didn't find mercy from the Syrians because the Syrians were gone. They found mercy from God, really. This was what God did. God did this to deliver his people. But they were looking for mercy. And the only mercy that we're going to find is from God. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So salvation is by the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, because of the great love with which he loved mankind. He sent his Son, and we can be saved by his grace. So, when they got to the camp, you remember, they thought they're taking a risk. Well, we might as well give it, this is our only shot. So they go to the Syrians' camp, seeking for mercy, and they got something beyond their comprehension. More than they would ever expect, more than they could ever imagine in this situation. You know, when they got there, they're eating, they're drinking, they're taking gold and silver, they're hiding it, they're plundering the material goods of the Syrians. Who could have imagined it would be so abundant? Who could have imagined it would be so instantaneous? Our God is so great. He's so good. Here we are, lost sinners on this earth, headed for a devil's hell, and God, in his mercy, saves us. That, an experience in and of itself, is just an amazing blessing. You know, you remember back. You can think back to before you were saved. You can think back to the uncertainty, the fears of condemnation, the fears of hell. I certainly can. I knew I was headed for hell. That was a miserable, miserable thing. And it, just waiting for death to come, waiting for judgment to come, waiting to be cast into the lake of fire. Finally, the Lord moved me. The Lord convicted me. He drew me through that knowledge and that understanding. I was so, so happy when I was saved. You know, it's difficult for people to, you know, in a church service, you're hearing the word, you get convicted, and you're hesitant. You don't want to embarrass yourself. Maybe you're hesitant to step out of the pew and walk down the aisle. The preacher saying, "Come to the altar." That's a good place to be saved. At camp, I'm sure they had a call for those that were lost to come to the altar, or those who had burdens to come to the altar. And sometimes we won't. We're pushing the Spirit away. But we're in that condition that we're scared, we're worried, we know that death is coming. But as soon as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and he removes that burden, what a blessing. What a blessing. Beyond expectation, beyond our imagination. And all the other great things that God has promised those who follow him. Promised to be with us, to sustain us in life, to carry us through, to be with us, to look forward to the coming kingdom and the riches and glory of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're looking for that kingdom. The world is certainly not a place where we can have great confidence these days. Lots of things going on in the world, crazy things, murderous things. Election this year is one of the craziest ones on record, I think. I think it tops it. Uncertainty there. But you know what? We can depend on the Word of God. Just like the prophet said, tomorrow these things are going to happen. There's going to be abundance of food. They couldn't believe it, but it happened. We can depend on the Word of God. We should look for God's mercy. And when we look for God's mercy, we're going to find more than we ever imagined. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Psalm 36, 7 and 8 says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. It's a good thing to know the Lord. It's a good thing to serve the Lord. There are blessings that He gives us every day as we commune with Him. There are promises that we have that we can count on and look forward to. How wonderful it is. How abundantly the Lord blesses. He takes us lost sinners and He saves us from our rightful destiny, which is hell. He makes us His own children. And then He gives us an inheritance in His kingdom. So they are just overwhelmed. They're loading up the goods. They're eating the food. And suddenly it dawns on them, we're not doing right. And why? Because they were just keeping it to themselves. They're keeping it to themselves. This wonderful blessing was not just for them. It was for all of the inhabitants of the city of Samaria. This was a blessing that God wanted to give all of them. We should be mindful of that, those of us who know the Lord and are privileged to serve the Lord in His church and receive the blessings that we receive. This should be a reminder to us that we don't do right when we don't share the message of Christ and His church with others on the outside. We're not doing right. They said, we're not doing the right thing. So they go back to the city. They go to the city and they tell what's happened. And of course, naturally, they're afraid it's a trap. So they send those five men out. I think it was on those last five horses that they hadn't eaten yet. I bet those horses looked pretty bony too. You imagine these bony guys on these bony horses going out, and then what did they find? Wow. They found the mercy of God. The abundance of God. He shared it, and others were delivered from death. And the words of the prophet came true. Not only the prophecy concerning how that the food would be so cheap and abundant, but also that the one who doubted, who didn't believe it was possible, who challenged the word of God, would see it happen, would know that God's hand was in it and see it happen, but would not partake of it because he was trampled to death by the people running out. So God's word is sure. The word of the Lord, the Bible that we have, it's sure. It's true. There's a judgment coming for this world. There's a judgment coming for all of us one day. And in closing, I want to read Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up, Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. What a miserable, miserable situation the city of Samaria found itself in. God would bring judgment on his people when they were disobedient and they served other gods. He would allow things like this to happen and come into their lives. And then they would repent and he would bless. And when God blesses, it's over and above all that we can think or ask. And it's all based on mercy, God's mercy. I'm glad that I serve God. I'm glad that I know Jesus as my Savior. I want to do good. I want to do well by sharing that information with others. There's so much death around us. People need Jesus Christ. Let's be those witnesses to this lost and dying world. Let's have a verse of song. If there's a need this morning, whatever the need might be, won't you come?